Dead worlds. Good God, Otero said to himself. After all these years, I finally discover that I'm a ham. He was enjoying himself, enjoying sitting there in the studio with the cameras on him and speaking earnestly to the vast unseen audience around the world. While this deadly wave of radiation is still 2,000 years away from Earth and the rest of our solar system, he was reading from the prompter, it has already engulfed thousands of other worlds, other planetary systems, and wiped them clean of all life. The monitor screen, positioned to one side of the floor director, showed a view of a star field, thousands upon thousands of bright gleaming stars strewn against the black of infinity. To tell you more of the challenge we face, Otero said as the cameras focused on him once more, we have the man who has been to the stars, the leader of our expedition to New Earth, Mr. Jordan Kell. Jordan felt the director's tap on his shoulder and stepped into the lighted area, while Otero rose to his feet and extended his hand. Jordan smiled tightly. Look pleased but concerned, the director had whispered to him. There was no applause, no audience to give a reaction. Otero gripped Jordan's hand strongly with an expression on his mustachioed face that said, "We're in this together, friend." Once they sat facing one another, Otero said, Before we get into the problems that the death wave presents, could you tell us a bit about New Earth, its people, the civilization you found on that planet? Jordan nodded. He and Otero and the network's writers had gone over this scenario. It's an extraordinary story, Jordan began, quite beyond anything we expected to find. For the next half hour, Jordan spoke about New Earth and its human inhabitants, while the monitor screen showed the images of the aliens and their city that he had brought back with him. They're completely human? Otero asked. Completely, said Jordan. Just as human as you and I. In fact, I've married one of them. The monitor showed Aditi and Jordan together in the city on New Earth. Following the script, Otero asked, And where is your beautiful wife now? His expression tightening, Jordan replied, She's being held in some secure facility by the World Council.
Being held? You mean she's in prison?
They call it protective custody. Anita Halleck and her fellow council members apparently feel that Aditi and I are in danger here on Earth. They claim that fanatics, terrorists, will try to assassinate us.
You don't believe that? Otero asked.
Hardly. I think that Halleck wants to keep us separated because she doesn't want us to tell the people about the death wave that's approaching us, and other worlds that harbor intelligent life as well. Otero rubbed his swarthy chin.
Well, this is your opportunity to speak the truth to the people. We have well over 100 million viewers watching you right now.
Jordan turned to face the cameras directly. While it's true that the death wave won't reach Earth for 2,000 years, there are other worlds that bear intelligent civilizations lying much closer to the wave front. We've got to help them. If we don't, they'll be wiped out, just as so many intelligent species have already been killed by the death wave. Hamilton Cree sat in his new apartment in Chicago and stared at the holographic viewer. Dead worlds. He watched scenes of death on other worlds, cities where the streets were piled with bodies. They looked more like oversized lizards than humans, but they were dead, all of them, sprawled in grotesque agony everywhere. Other worlds where neatly squared-off fields lay blackened and lifeless beneath a warm, sunny sky. Creatures that were giant worms stretched across the ashes of what had once been a village. Now it was a silent collection of mounds on a cemetery world. Through it all, Jordan Kell's measured, somber voice intoned, This is what will happen to the worlds that are in the path of the death wave unless we help them. We've got to build the starships and go out to save these civilizations. The creatures living on those worlds don't know that they are threatened with extinction. They won't know until the death wave reaches their worlds, and by then it will be too late. The view cut to Kell's face, totally serious, almost pleading. Thanks to the people of New Earth, we have the technology to protect ourselves from the death wave. But there are more than half a dozen other worlds that we can reach, we must reach, before the death wave engulfs them. As I said, we have the technology. Do we have the heart, the will,
to save other intelligent creatures from the death wave. Kree slowly shook his head. Well, that's a lot to swallow, he thought. How do we know he's telling the truth? How do we know these images he's showing are real? Real or not, they were certainly disturbing. Whole worlds killed off. Why would Kel or anybody else want to show us that if it wasn't true? Back in the studio, Otero was asking, if these creatures on these other worlds are intelligent, why can't they protect themselves against the death wave? Jordan was sitting tensely in the armchair. He saw Otero looking at him, sensed the people up in the control booth, the viewers across the world and through the solar system. The whole human race was involved in this, whether they knew it or not, whether they liked it or not. These other civilizations aren't as advanced as we are. They don't have electricity yet, no radio, no airplanes, no spaceflight. They have no way of knowing they're facing death. Before Otero could respond, Jordan went on. We ourselves wouldn't know about the death wave if we hadn't made contact with the people of New Earth. They are part of a civilization that's much, much older than ours. They've graciously given us the technology we need to shield ourselves from the death wave. Then why don't they go out and save these other worlds? Otero asked. Why do we have to do it?